Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. If you're a guest, always excited to have guests with us. If you're a member, know that we've been praying for you guys. We are going through 8 Psalms in the book of Psalms, and we are in Psalm chapter 4 this morning. We're looking at the different kinds of psalms, right? The book of Psalm, I mentioned to you, is like a little medicine cabinet. It has different genres within it. It has wisdom. It has a sense of lament. It also has rejoicing, happiness. It also has psalms about Christ himself. And that's why I like the book of Psalms. It's a lot of raw emotions, but these emotions are met with truth about who God is as well. So this morning, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And when you arrive to the text, say, word. Can you please stand? We stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous word. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayers. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when they grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's pray together. Father, your word is so pure, so theocentric, so centered on you. Father, I pray this morning, if there's any anxiety within our own hearts, if we are restless, if we stay up late at night and cannot sleep, if we are looking for peace, let us turn to you, O God. You are our refuge. You are our maker. So God, I pray that you teach us what we do not know. Give us what we do not have. Make us what we are not. In your mighty and precious name, God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title of today's sermon is The Quest for Peace. The Quest for Peace. What keeps you up at night? What anxiety keeps you up at night? Perhaps it's ISIS and their terror throughout this world. Maybe you're concerned that ISIS will bomb a place that you are maybe working in, or maybe they will hurt you. Perhaps it's your job, that you're not sure that you will have a job tomorrow, thinking maybe you'll be fired or laid off. Maybe it's marital problems, that you and your wife or husband cannot get along and you fight all the time, and you're thinking one day this will end. Maybe it's financial problems, or maybe it's because of an illness that a doctor perhaps told you. He called you in his office and said that you have cancer or you have some illness that might kill you. Whatever it is that keeps you up at night, there is no peace at all. And you are looking for peace. You are crying for peace. You're crying for your heart to find rest. And brothers and sisters, in this psalm, David helps us understand how to find rest in the midst of our difficulties. He helps us to see how to kill weariness or anxiety in our own hearts. And David turns to prayer. The answer is prayer. William James states, "The sovereign cure for worry is prayer." And this is exactly what David is saying in Psalm 4. The source of his anxiety is found in verse 4 of Psalm 4. He mentions, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts." But also look at in verse 2, not verse 4, but verse 2. He starts by saying, "Oh man." That's the source of his anxiety. This "oh man" basically is translated as "men of significance, men of high ranking, men of great importance." Now, these are the men that are coming against David. And this is the same, this is the backdrop. The backdrop of Psalm 4 is the same as Psalm 3. As a matter of fact, many scholars believe Psalm 3 was written in the morning and Psalm 4 was written in the evening. In the morning, when David first got up, he wrote Psalm 3. At night, when David was struggling with his anxiety, he wrote Psalm 4. The backdrop is that David's son Absalom is pursuing him, and David is in the wilderness. David cannot sleep at night because fear of his son Absalom will come and destroy him and kill him. So David writes Psalm 4. Brothers and sisters, notice with me very carefully that Psalm 4 turns to prayer with trouble brewing in David's mind. In other words, notice very carefully how David turns to God and he asks God to protect him, to guide him, to lead him. He appeals to the attributes of God, God's love, God's faithfulness, God is gracious. What David is doing here is exactly what Paul commands us to do with our anxiety in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Notice what Paul states, and this is exactly what David is doing in Psalm 4. Paul states in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious but about everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This is exactly what David is doing in Psalm 4. Instead of concerning himself about his anxiety and worriedness, he appeals to God. He turns to prayer. Martin Luther, the great reformer, this is what he mentions, which is pretty good. "Pray and let God worry." Pray and let God worry. There's a little humor in this because God cannot worry. So the point is, don't worry, pray. God will take care of it. Pray and let God worry. This morning, I want us to see four reasons why we should pray to God, especially in our anxiety, especially in our difficulties. Four reasons why we should pray to God. Reason number one, we pray to God because He answers prayers. We pray to God because He answers prayers. In our anxiety, most often, we don't think that God answers prayers. So we need to be reminded that God answers prayers. We see this in verses 1 through 2. 2, we pray to God because He sets us apart for His glory. We are His chosen people. If you've entered into a covenant relationship with God, know this, that God has set you apart. God loves you. God cares for you. We see this in verse 3. We pray to God because we can trust Him. The psalmist spent verses 4 through 7 talking about trusting in God. He calls his enemies to come and trust God. He tells them, don't be angry. Don't allow your anger to lead into sin. Don't stay on your beds and plot against people. And he calls them to offer up right sacrifices, to trust in the great Yahweh Himself. And finally, we pray to God because He gives us rest or peace. We see this in verse 8. So brothers and sisters, let's dive into God's word together. Notice the first point. Four reasons why we ought to pray. Reason number one is we pray to God because He answers prayers. David here in verse 4 begins his prayer or his psalm by saying, "Answer me when I call, O God, my righteousness." And what David is doing here, brothers and sisters, is that David is reminding himself. It seems as if David probably was up. He's on his bed. He's thinking about all of those things. And perhaps he's thinking that, man, God doesn't love me. This is what we often do in our anxiety. We question whether God loves us. We question whether God cares for us. We even question whether God will answer us when we call to him. We find the same situation with Martha. Remember Martha in her anxiety, what Martha said? She went to our Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that I'm doing all of this and my sister is doing nothing? I mean, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to question whether he cares for you?" But this is what happens most often in our anxiety. We tend to be very untheological. We don't think deeply about God anymore. We actually think not only is that God is not answering us, but we often think that God is against us. So David wakes up from his anxiety, and David then appeals to God with such great confidence. And he says to God, "Answer me, God." Why is there such great confidence? Because David notices three great attributes about God. He reflects and he's reminded of who God is, and therefore it builds a great confidence in David. And David appeals to three great attributes concerning God. He appeals to God's righteousness. If you notice in the text, "My God, my righteousness." He appeals to God's faithfulness. And then he appeals to God's graciousness, God's grace. But brothers and sisters, I think in this passage of Scripture, David helps us understand about effective prayers. Effective prayers are prayers that are centered on God. Prayers that are centered on the attributes of God. The ultimate basis for divine intervention resides in God and not ourselves. So if I want God to come and help, then I must focus my prayers on who he is, not on me. I need him to intervene. This is why it's always said, man, if you listen to someone pray long enough, you will know what they believe about God. Because what you believe about God will come out in your prayers. Our prayers must be theocentric, meaning they must be centered on God. And this is exactly what David does. This is why the psalm is so good, because they're very theocentric. They're very centered on God. But brothers and sisters, David does not run away from God in his anxiety, but he runs to God in his anxiety. Here's another great principle for us. Run to God, not away from God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible, he wrote this. "It is a dangerous error, surely widespread among Christians, to think that the heart can pray by itself. Prayer does not mean simply to pour out one's heart. It means rather to find the way to God and to speak with him, whether the heart is full or empty. No man can do that by himself. For that, he needs Christ." For that, he needs Christ. So three attributes that David turns to, he appeals to. And these three attributes give David such great confidence in his prayer. That's why he can say to God, "Answer me when I call." The first attribute is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Notice the phrase that David mentions in Psalm 4. "Answer me when I called, O God of my righteousness." The word righteousness appeals to God's character. God is an upholder of justice. He always acts in accordance with what is right because he is perfect. He is the perfect standard by which all people and all things measure themselves by. God is the perfect standard. And oh, church, we are called to constantly pursue God's standard, God's way. And that's what David is appealing to right now. God, you are righteous. You are the perfect standard. And God, in my anxiety, I want to come to you, God, and follow you no matter what. Even when I feel like I don't want to do this, I need to do this. That's what David is doing here. That's what he's doing here. You know, it was said about a NCAA cross-country championship that was held in Riverside, California. 123 out of the 128 runners missed a turn. Missed a turn. Completely missed it. They were running. They didn't see it. They just completely missed it. And one in particular saw it. He saw the right way, and his name was Mike DelCavo. And Mike DelCavo, as he was running, he noticed the right way, and he's waving to people and saying, come on, this is the right way. Follow me, follow me. And only four of them followed him. When the race was done, they asked Mike DelCavo, why did he go the right way? Or why did he make that decision? And he said, he responded, they thought it was funny that I went the right way. But it wasn't funny because I finished the race and they did not. What's the point of this? The point is, church, when we are pursuing the right way, a lot of people will not follow. They might make fun of you. They might say things to you. But we have to trust that the right way will lead us to God. The right way will give us peace and rest. The right way will help us turn away from our anxieties. And this is exactly what David is doing here. Even when it's tough to go down the right way, get your Christian friends, man, and get them to lift you up so you can continue going down the right way. Continue following the scripture. Continue being obedient to God. And you will find great rest. Obedience to God will result in great peace and rest. Coming closer, I want to say this again. I want to say it again. Obedience to God will result in great peace and rest in this life. Disobedience will result with anxiety and troubles in this life. And notice what David mentions in the text. Not just righteousness, but my righteousness. You see it in your own Bible? He personalized this righteousness. In other words, David is thinking about his covenant relationship with Yahweh, that he entered into a relationship with God, and God will protect his own. God will care for his own. And by thinking about God's righteousness, David is also putting his sins in juxtaposition to that of God's righteousness. And David realizes that God's righteousness is so great, but his sin is worthless. And that's why he will appeal to God's grace later on. Brothers and sisters, how are you appealing to God's righteousness in your troubles? Notice the second attribute that David appeals to. Not only God's righteousness, but he appeals to the faithfulness of God. Seeing your own Bibles that he mentions in the text, he implies this. He says, you have given me relief when I was in distress. What David is doing here, brothers and sisters, is that he is thinking about how God has been faithful to him throughout his life. God was faithful to him when David killed the lion, when David killed Goliath. God was faithful to him when Saul came against him. So David is reflecting on God's faithfulness in his life. Come in closer. And I want you to write this down. Think about this. Beloved, do not allow your circumstances to give you spiritual amnesia to the point that you forget the faithfulness of God in your life. we get the spiritual amnesia and we forget how faithful God is, all the things that God has done in our life. So if we're going through marital issues or financial issues, or there's an illness in our own life, we forget what God has done, what God did for us, right? How God saved us. The fact that you're breathing right now, the fact that your kids are healthy, the fact that you have a home, the fact that God saved you from death. All of these things we forget. And that's the spiritual amnesia. And David here reflects on God's faithfulness in his life. And brothers and sisters, I don't want you to miss this. Friends, I don't want you to miss this. And come in closer and get this. If for some reason you cannot appeal to God's faithfulness in your anxiety, there are two problems. One is that there's nothing to draw from, that perhaps you're not truly converted. How can you reflect on God's faithfulness when you've never entered into a personal relationship with Him? So that could be a possibility that you're not saved. The second thing is because that pipe is clogged up. That connection that you're supposed to have with God is clogged up because of sin. So there is sin in our lives that we probably don't want to repent and confess. And we don't want to submit to God. So that's why it's hard for us to reflect on God's faithfulness. These are the two problems. But notice the third attribute that David appeals to. The grace of God. Not only did he appeal to the righteousness of God, the faithfulness of God, but he appeals to the grace of God. Do you see it in your own Bibles? Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Again, David is thinking about how God has been gracious to him when he sinned against Uriah. In Psalm 51, David turns to God and he calls on God to be merciful towards him, to forgive him. Brothers and sisters, in your anxiety, are you turning to God's righteousness, faithfulness, and God's grace? Because by reflecting upon these attributes, it will give you great confidence in your prayer. But I like what David does then. See in your own Bible the transition. David transitioned from the closet of prayer to now the field of conflict. In other words, this is another great principle. Before David can face his conflict and face his enemies, David is on his knees facing God. Before David can go into the world and deal with issues, David is going before God to be renewed. Before he can talk to man, he is talking to God. And that's what prayer does for us. It gives us a right perspective in our difficulties, in our anxieties, in our problems. Well, what prayer does, it gives us the strength that we need to face those issues. And that's exactly what David does. Brothers and sisters, I was reminded as I was reading this of a great missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China, and he faced many, many conflicts on the field. Hudson Taylor faced people, his enemies coming against him, trying to hurt him physically. He faced his first child died on the mission field. He faced how his enemies and the people of China, the government was trying to defame him. But yet Hudson Taylor did so much, and God used him greatly. What was his secret? What was it? How did he find peace in the midst of difficulties and problems? Hudson Taylor's son helps us understand this. And this is what he mentioned concerning his father. He said, 40 years, the sun never rose on China that God didn't find him, his father, on his knees. That's the secret. How can he face such tragedy and difficulties? It was because he was always on his knees before this great God. Before he can face his problems, he faced his great God in prayer. That's why. And that's exactly what we see. David turns to the Lord. He faces his God in prayer. He appeals to God's attribute. And now David is going to deal with his problems in the psalm. See for yourself what David does, how he talks about his enemies. He says this in verse 2, "O man, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" In other words, what David is doing here, brothers and sisters, don't miss this in verse 2. He's turning to his enemies who are dishonoring him, ruining his reputation. That's why he says, turning his glory into shame. And why are they doing that? Because, according to the psalmist, they love lies. They love false gods. They love ungodly things. They are ungodly, so they come against him because he is godly. Don't miss this. Don't miss this connection. This is David's point. They're coming against his conviction. They're coming against his love for the Lord. They're coming against his belief. They're coming against him. Nothing has changed, has it? Maybe your coworkers. Maybe your boss. Maybe your spouse who is not a believer are coming against your belief in God, coming against your conviction. They love lies rather than truth. Nothing has changed, has it? The human heart is the same, right? But our God is also the same, and we could appeal to him to help us. Notice the second point. So we pray because God answers prayers. We see this. But we also pray because he has set us apart for his glory. He has set the godly apart for his glory. Do you see it in verse 3? "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." So in the prayer, he begins the prayer. He begins the psalm in Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, by saying, "Answer me when I call." And then we find in verse 3 that God has answered his prayers. But God has answered his prayers. Brothers and sisters, how incredible is this? That we serve a God who answers our prayers, who cares for us deeply. But see for yourself what David says in the text. That you have set the godly aside for your glory. And I don't want you to miss this, because this right here is such a powerful passage of scripture. And this is why I believe election is a great doctrine that we can hold on to. And this is what David is doing here. David understands that God has elected him before the foundation of the world, that God has set him apart, that God will conform him, that God will sanctify him. He knows all of this. He knows that God, who has begun a good work in him, will complete it until the day of redemption. And David is appealing to God's election. The very thing that helps David in his anxiety, don't miss this, is God's election. It's the fact that God has set apart the godly for his glory. And David is saying, "I am one of those, God. I am one who has entered into a covenant relationship with you. I am one before the foundation of the world that you love me. And because of that, don't forget me. Don't forget me in my anxieties. Don't forget me in my difficulties." The doctrine of election should not push us away from God, but it should pull us to God. It should give us great security in who he is. I don't want you to miss this. And get this. This is what David is saying when he's thinking about God, set him apart, set apart the godly. I'm part of this. David is saying, if God chooses to love us, will he not also hear us when we cry out to him? If God chooses to love me, if God chooses to save me, will he not hear me when I cry out to him day and night? Jesus says exactly the same thing, brothers and sisters. Notice what Jesus mentions in Luke. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. And he states, this is the persistent widow who's crying out day and night for God to intervene, right? Wants the unrighteous judge to intervene. And Jesus says, if this unrighteous judge will intervene, how much more will this great God intervene? And notice what it states. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? That's what David is thinking about. You will not delay, O Lord, but you will come speedily, quickly, to my rescue. Charles Spurgeon noted right here, he stated, O beloved, when you are on your knees, the fact that your being set apart as God's own peculiar treasure should give you courage and inspire you with fervency and faith. So true. And this is exactly what David is saying. David gives us a third reason why we should pray. Thirdly, he states, we pray to God because we can trust God. Notice in your own Bible how he now begins to preach to his enemies. Will you be able to do that? Can you imagine that people are coming maliciously attacking you, gossiping about you, want to kill you, and then you can turn to them and share Christ, share Yahweh with them, ask them to turn from their sins? This is exactly what David is doing. See what David does. After renewed confidence, he appeals to his enemies. He turns to them and he says to them, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, your own beds, and be silent. Then he says, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. That's grace. That's an indication that David has received grace and therefore he's extending grace. But don't miss this. Be angry and do not sin. Let's just stop for 1 second. Because the Apostle Paul mentions this text verbatim in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. And he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So let's just stop and just think about this. It's a scripture. Yes, we can be angry and not sin. But we can also be angry and it can lead us to sin. We can be angry and that anger is sin. And here are 4 ways that our anger can be sinful. 4 ways to value your own hearts, right? 1, when your anger is without a cause. Your anger is without a cause. 2, when it is unreasonable and bears no proportion to the offense. Sinful. 3, when it is sudden and has no time for reflection and or explanation. 4, when it is long continued and is turned into hate and malice. And this is what David is talking about. Perhaps these men are following Absalom, they're coming against David, and the anger has turned into hatred and malice. They're saying to themselves, David, you are the one chosen by God. But David, look at what you did to Uriah. Look at what you did to your children. Look at what you did to the nation of Israel. And that anger turned into sin, and that sin is hatred and malice. But David, because of the righteousness of God, he turns to the wicked, he turns to his enemies, and he says to his enemies, turn away from that. Turn away from your anger. But turn away from your actions as well. He talks to them and he says to them, be careful when you go to bed, right? See what he says. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. It's quite easy for them to go to bed and think about David and all the things that they will do to David. And listen, brothers and sisters, coming closer. I don't want you to miss this because this is on both sides. Our beds at night can be a very dangerous place. It should be a place of comfort where you go to sleep. For our enemies is where they plot against us. And for us is where we stay up at night, anxious because of our enemies, anxious because of our difficulties. When you are anxious, you don't sleep at night. You stay awake constantly, thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. So David turns to his enemies and he says to his enemies, "Be angry, do not sin. Watch over your thoughts and your actions at night." Then, this is negative, and he's talking to his enemies. He wants his enemies to trust in the God that he trusts in. He's evangelizing to them, so he points out their sins. And now what he's doing positively, he's going to point out God and who God is. And he turns to them and he tells them to offer up right sacrifices. Righteous sacrifice is basically the Hebrew word here. Righteous sacrifice. In other words, David is not only concerned about the rituals, but he's concerned about the spiritual act of sacrifice. David perhaps had in mind Saul, who when he sinned against God, offered up sacrifices. And Samuel said to Saul, "Hey Saul, your sacrifice was not done in a contrite spirit, with the right heart." David here is saying to his enemies, when you come to the Lord, make sure it's for the right reason. Notice what he's doing here. In Psalm 51, David says exactly the same thing. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And in verse 6, see in your own Bibles, David transitions. And he turns to his enemies who are saying, "How can God do anything? God can do nothing good for you, David. God can do nothing good." And David perhaps is thinking about this, contemplating on this. He has to fight against his opponents, but he also has to fight against his own doubts. They're saying all of this, and in his anxiety, he's probably thinking, "Yes, God, maybe you do nothing good." But here, that's not what he does. See in verse 6 what he does. See with me very carefully. I don't want you to miss this. He says, "There are many who say, who will show us some good?" And David reflects on Aaron's blessing mentioned in the book of Numbers. And he mentions something great. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 25 through 27, this is what David is thinking of. This is what David is quoting. David is saying, "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So instead of David thinking about what his enemies are saying or what his doubt is saying, David is thinking about the word of God. That God shines his face upon his people. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to miss this. The next thing that David helps us understand is that greater joy that God gives us, greater than materialistic things, is what David is appealing to. Notice in your own Bible how he ends in verse 6. See what he says. Verse 7. "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when they grain and wind a bond." What is David saying here? That God gives us that joy that has lasted, greater than materialistic things, greater than what the world can give us. That's the joy that David is appealing to. And when David receives that joy, David will find peace in his circumstances. Notice with me the fourth and final point. The fourth reason why David prays. We pray to God because he gives us rest. We pray to God because he gives us rest. See in your own Bibles what David mentions in verse 8. How he closes verse 8. He begins in verse 1, "Answer me when I call," and in verse 8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Brothers and sisters, listen to me very carefully. I want you to get this. Do you notice in the text that David mentions that he goes to bed? There is peace. He rests. I want you to imagine with me, David is running for his life, Absalom, and everyone's coming against him. And David knows that if he sleeps, he will be vulnerable. But here, he's able to sleep. I don't know about you, but when I was in college, man, it was hard for me to sleep. Not because of all the stuff that was going on, but because of my roommates. I remember every time, man, I would try to sleep, being very vulnerable. One time I got up with hot pepper in my mouth, right? Toothpaste all over my face and crazy stuff that they would do. So I remembered how difficult it was. And I think in David's situation, it's even more extreme. But think about it. When you sleep, you're very vulnerable. And here David is saying he's able to sleep. Not because of a gun. Not because of the armies around him that he has. But because of God. Listen very carefully. For those of you who have kids, you know this. When you go in your kid's room right before they sleep, there's something that happens. Most of them, they want you to be with them. They want you to pray with them. They want you to turn the lights on. Why is that? There's a sense of fear of the darkness. And what we do most often is we pray with them. And sometimes we pray this prayer, right? What is the prayer? The prayer that says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die when I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I think we as adults probably need to pray that same prayer. When we are restless at night, remind yourself that God is your refuge. Remind yourself of this. This is exactly what David mentioned in Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. I lay down and I slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. In your anxiety, are you not able to sleep? Are you staying up at night thinking of all kinds of stuff? And brothers and sisters, turn to the Lord. Trust in him. Trust in his attributes. Trust in his word. Cry out to him and find that rest and peace. Do you have peace in the midst of difficulties? Or are you spending time praying? Do you believe that God can answer prayers? These are all questions I want you to think about deeply. And as you think about them, allow those gazing questions, evaluating questions to cause your heart, move your heart towards God. Don't run away from him in your anxiety, in your difficulties, but run towards him like David did. Appeal to his righteousness, his faithfulness, and his grace. Turn to him first in your prayer. Face him first in your prayer, and then you will be able to face your conflict. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have great reason to pray in Scripture. You answer prayers. You have set apart the godly for your glory. We are thankful that we can trust you and that you give us rest and peace in difficult circumstances, Father. So I pray for your people this morning. We can be like David. And we can find peace, Father, and rest. In your mighty and precious name, amen. Please stand.